Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Talking to an old friend here tonight, John Ventry, and he's going to be discussing who the aliens really are and has been. The time travel false flag, what future holds for humanity. But we keep getting into these really great stories, and they're just great stories. And time flies, doesn't it, John, when you're here? It just flies by.
Yeah, but we got two more hybrids to talk about.
tell us those stories. Let's hear them.
Okay, so now it's 2013. I think I had just finished up 3 years of being on the MUFON board. I'm a multi-state director with seven states, almost like a regional director. So,
what were the seven states? Which ones were they?
Yeah, I had Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Delaware, Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire. Those were the seven states. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but it was not much different than what I did at UPS. You know, I had three states at the same time, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, with all these people reporting to me. And, you know, I had security, I had public affairs, I had all the airports, I had all the claim payments and damages. So it was a huge responsibility. So I was just used to being able to cover large territories and, you know, and working with people remotely. So at this point, you know, all I hear about is Roswell. So I said, all right, let me go out to Roswell. I've never been there. And it's the summer of 13. It's June. And I said, I am not going to the festival because I don't want to be around people wearing tin hats and balloons and parades. I really don't, because to me, I felt that was making fun of the genre.
There's actually a couple people that do, right? That you will see a couple people that do at the festival.
Yes. I've never been there during that July 4th weekend, let's say. So I went the last week of June, and I really wanted to go to the museum. So I did. And so I'm there, and, you know, the museum needed some upgrades. You know, they had, like, stuff taped to the wall, all that stuff. Yeah, but they had the best library. Every book ever written on the subject is there. Huge library.
True.
So I'm there, and I noticed this other female. Again, she's got that pale skin. She has white hair, white eyebrows, and those gray bloodshot eyes. So I just noticed her there. I didn't talk to her. I didn't do anything. It's a different person. The first one from 1999, she was about 5'11 and more heavy set. This one is just, let's say, normal build, maybe 5'9, but much thinner. So fine, you know. So now, whether it was that night or next night, I'm in this Chinese restaurant. There she is. She comes up to me. So I said, all right, let's sit together and talk. So we have a 2-hour conversation, and she says she's a hybrid.
She says she's one? She tells you she's one?
Yeah, she says that, and she goes, You know, she says, well, I know who you are. You're with MUFON, and I've seen you on a couple of TV shows on Discovery Channel. You know, I had done UFOs Over Earth, Close Encounters, Alien Mysteries. There's probably a few others. And she goes, let me tell you the truth about humanity. And I said, okay, go ahead. So she's telling me how they were our progenitors. They created us. They upgraded us from apes and that type of stuff. And I'm disagreeing with her. I'm saying, look, I believe you've been here because there's so much evidence and cases and I've investigated them. But I believe in creation. I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. And I don't agree with what you're saying. And we sat there and debated this. And we went, I'm telling you, it was a 2-hour conversation. But there was one thing we agreed on. And I brought up, because I had already been having these paranormal activities. Well, I told you what happened in 1999 with the other hybrid. And she got I don't want to say she got paler than she was, because she was already pale. But when I brought up these malevolent interdimensional entities, the demonic, that, and she says, yes, we're afraid of them too. So it seemed like we had that in common. That was very interesting. That the common ground between us and aliens is the demonic world, the interdimensional world, that dark side. And she agreed with it and said, yeah, we have that in common too. And she was very afraid of them, very afraid. Hmm. So now the following day, I'm leaving. And my trip was, I flew into, I think it was Albuquerque, drove to Roswell, and I'm driving now to Santa Fe. And then I was going to drive back to Albuquerque and fly out. So I'm leaving town. And if you know Roswell, you got that main street there. And I'm mm-hmm. driving west, heading to Santa Fe. And basically, when you get to the end of the businesses and everything, you got desert for 178 miles. I remember one town that was mostly deserted about halfway. There was a diner and a gas station. So there she is. She's hitchhiking.
No way.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a movie. Come on.
I couldn't make this stuff up, Connie. There she is hitchhiking. I'm driving. I'm leaving. You know, she's hitchhiking. She's got no bag. She's got no purse. She's wearing blue jeans with kind of a blue shirt, short sleeve with little white flowers on it. I remember distinctly remember it. And she's hitchhiking. She puts her thumb out. I make eye contact with her. And it
did
was
you have, how many thumbs did she have when she did that?
Well, no, she had 5 fingers. I checked that out. She wasn't the 6-finger tall man, you know. But I looked at her, and it was something in my gut said, don't pick her up. Don't pick her up. You know, it's almost like, I know what you did last summer. You know, it's a rainy night, and it's a girl in the car, and you don't stop to pick up a guy in a black trench coat, you know. So I didn't pick her up. I didn't pick her up, and I just kept going. And so that's that. It was something.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Now, she was different than the first one in 1999. The first one in 1999, I don't know if she was a hybrid. You know, she certainly seemed more human, like maybe that was a first-generation hybrid. I mean, she had blonde hair. She had normal blonde eyelashes, you know. She was light-skinned, but not really, really pale. This one kind of gave you a creepy feeling. You know, there's something, you know, this, I don't know how to explain it. Something about being near her or her eyes. Like you look into the eyes of your dog or your pet, they don't have that same brightness that a human has. There's just something different there. Mm-hmm. So that's the second one, right? So I end up writing a book, and I describe this whole encounter, and I call it the alternative history of mankind, because that's what she's telling me, an alternative history of mankind, and so how we got our beginning, and I completely describe our conversation in there. So I write that book, and I tell you what, I got some great cover art for it. You know, the thinker, as a matter of fact, on my desk here, I have an ape holding a human skull sitting like the thinker on a stack of books. So this guy in Brazil did a drawing of an alien, a gray alien holding a human skull, like the thinker. So I contact him. Damiano was his last name. And he goes, yeah, you can use it for the cover of the book. And I thought nice. The title, Alternative History of Mankind, was a cool title. So I wrote that book. So, now we fast forward to last October of 2023. So I go to baseball. Matter of fact, I flew home this morning from Florida, and I went to two minor league baseball games. I normally do that spring training, that type of stuff, mm-hmm. and other teams locally. So I said, let me go to the Arizona Fall League, and that's really like a minor league all-star game. All the minor leaguers play. So it's the first week of October, and I fly out. And I'm there, and I go drive to Scottsdale. And I look to the right, and there's like this complex there. And I say, well, it looks like some sort of amusement area. So if I checked in, and I went over there, I think it was the next day, and it was Arizona Boardwalk at Talking Stick. That's just the name of the area where the baseball stadium is also. So I go over, there's a Ripley's Believe It or Not, a dinosaur exhibit, some things for kids, restaurants, and there's the UFO experience. So right away I said, that's the first one I'm going in. So I go in, and the manager, I said, can I talk to the manager? Because I saw her on the window. It said a speaking circuit. They bring speakers in. So the manager comes over, and I'm talking to her, and I said, well, I'd like to be a speaker. I'll be back next October. And she says, you look familiar. And I said, well, I was on TV recently with Hangar One. She goes, oh, yeah, I recognize you. She goes, yeah, we'd love to have you. So now I'm on the speaker circuit. I'm going to be back there probably the third week of October and speak at the event. So, nice. I go, yeah, it was cool. So I go through the exhibit, And it was the best UFO museum I've ever been to, better than Roswell, because they broke it down by, not date order, but genre. UFOs and the military, you know, UFOs and abductions. So it was, each room was a particular aspect of ufology, a category. So I'm in there, and this guy and his son is there, and they turn around. They also say, "You look familiar in the UFO field." So again, I said, "Yeah, I was on Hangar 1." He goes, "That's where I know you from." So I look, and over his shoulder, there's another, these hybrid women just standing there. She's kind of leaning against the wall.
Whoa.
Now, she's much shorter than the other two. But again, the white hair, the white eyebrows, but she doesn't have the bloodshot eyes. She's got light blue eyes.
Visine.
Maybe she's wearing contacts.
She's got Visine, man. She's just like, "Oh, I got to hurry up. There's that John guy from Hangar 1.
Yeah, she put it in her eyes, right? So I just see her there. So, you know, I don't go talk to her or anything. So I go to the exhibit. It was a cool exhibit, right? So and then the next two nights, I go to the baseball games at Talking Stick, I think the name of the stadium is, and I'm watching the games. I see her at the game. I saw her at one game.
Oh, that's spooky.
That's the game. I see her a couple of rows behind me. So then I drive up to Cave Creek, about 18 miles north. I have a timeshare with the Hilton, right? And they have a timeshare there in Cave Creek. So I said, "Let me drive up and just check it out. Maybe next year that's where I stay." So I go up there, and there's a big street there with all like Indian stuff and all these cool, really cool stuff. Like you could just stop in one store and go to the next one. And, you know, I check out the timeshare. So then I go to a restaurant to eat. I think it was called Harold's Diner or something like that. So I sit down, I order, and she comes walking in. She walks straight towards me, sits down in the booth across from me, and she's carrying a book. And she goes, "I know who you are." And she goes, "I saw you on TV. I respect you as a researcher. You'll know what to do with this." And she hands me this light blue textbook, and she goes, "You take this." So we're talking. I said, "So what is it?" And all of that. And she says that she was in a hotel, and she found it like it was left behind in the hotel. So I look at it, and the cover is on the front, U.S. Navy Intelligence Manual on Time Travel. Now, when I get back to the room, obviously I'm reading it, I'm looking through it, but I'll tell you, there's 13 chapters, 211 pages. So right away I look to see who published it. It's published by the Naval Institute Press in Newport News, but dated 2073.
What?
It's 50 years in the future. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's what it says. I have the book, right? So, but it's brand new, you know, and I say to myself, why would there be a printed book in the year 2073? Wouldn't everything be digital? I mean, everything now almost is digital.
Yeah.
So I'm saying something's not adding up here, you know. I get the feeling, and I sat
and it'll just be an audio book at that time, even if that, it'll just be a download.
Yeah, or online, or by then you'll have a sensor in your eyeglasses that'll play the whole book in front of you, and you'll
read it on your
glasses or your contact lens or something.
There'll be AI actors that are like performing it for you.
So I'm suspicious. I was head of security for UPS, and I'm saying, you know, why would you have a printed book, you know? And she's telling me, "I want to get rid of this. There's a tall man following me." And so she tells me, maybe she was there for 20 minutes or so, and she says, "You take it." She gets up, she pushes the book to me. It hits my water glass, spills it on the chair where I'm sitting. So now, and she leaves. So if I'm going to go follow her, I'm going to have to move across the water. You know what I'm saying? They're like, she knocked the glass over on purpose. So now if I'm going to get up, I'm going to have to go through water all over the seat.
You know? Oh, that was smart.
Well, smart on her part, because I didn't get up.
Yeah. Yeah. So smart on her part. But you know what this means, right? Okay. What? She's got this tall dude following her. Well, yeah. She's going to give you the book. Now the tall dude's following you.
Well, absolutely. And I end up running into him too. But so I'm looking out the window and, you know, I really don't see her out there. I don't see any cars leaving the parking lot or anything. And, so I said, okay, so I take it back to my room. I don't go to the ball game that night, so I'm so, because I'm so interested in this thing. Whoever put this together took time and knew the genre. It talked about a lot of UFO cases, the history of UFOs. It talked about the ethics. It was a chapter, the ethics of time travel and changing history. Should it be done? Should evidence be planted to change something for the better, you know, or their version of what they think is better or worse? They actually attempted to go back, and they hit blocks where they could not go back in certain time periods, you know.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurt Woodsmith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.